might be very ill, and the patient does have the right to abstain from it. So we don't want the physician to be using criminal coercion when he lawfully causes physical injury to some other person by an operation.
Right, okay.
It's rather specious, but...
So you're in Dewsbury, or you've got something else that you're...
Well, I'm trying to find it lawfully and see if it's defined in the...
Can't find Dewsbury.
Probably he might have an up on it.
It's been lawfully removed.
Or unlawfully removed.
I don't know if unlawfully would be defined in the criminal code.
If you assume that it means without a lawful right to do something...
I would assume it means contrary to law.
Well, but this is the law that it'd be contrary to. So putting the law that is contrary to, that it can't be contrary to that, I'm still wondering what element of the offense you would have to prove as a prosecutor, or whether it's a separate defense of some kind. I'm wondering what it does for you. It's the only change that's in the bill are the additions of those modifiers.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator.
I don't think it would necessarily the unlawful would relate to that particular statute necessarily. I mean, if they have a lawful reason for causing injury to someone, it might not be related to them.
If I saw a completely deaf person starting to walk in front of a train, and they couldn't hear the train coming, and I shoved them aside, probably I haven't done anything improper, or I might be able to at least defend myself.
Unless you knock them aside into the train path.
It depends on whether I succeed, you're right. But how do I unlawfully induce a person? I suppose I should stop worrying about that, but I just don't know what unlawfully means in the context of this statute.
Well, we'll let the Court of Appeals worry about that one. I see the Chief Judge is taking notes down here. He's taking notes about what is apparent legislative intent, and there are a whole bunch of question marks after it.
No, what he was doing was fixing his schedule for this evening since nothing was going on in the committee. I can't find unlawfully in the Chapter 161 definitions of various things. I know, you know, knowingly and feloniously is a word that's been construed a number of times. I suspect unlawfully just means without a lawful right, and it doesn't add anything one way or the other.
Mr. Chair, am I incorrect in thinking that it's a legal axiom that if there isn't a specific legal definition that you go to the dictionary?
Yes.
And that would certainly define...
I think unlawful has been defined, you know, just a few times over the years.
And all I was asking was for the definition.
And I think the question is how it could apply in the context of this bill here.
Mm-hmm.
I do, now that we're talking about language, I do have a question. Line 13, maliciously was taken out and falsely put in, but maliciously means that, I mean, you also have to know it's false. So someone could in good faith give false information, but I wonder if the intention was...
Well, that's a good point. However, it seems to me that falsely would have to imply some criminal intent, it seems to me. I mean, I don't think the court would sustain a conviction based upon just a false statement unless there was proof that would lead one to believe that there was knowledge and that there was malice.
Knowledge that it was false.
Yeah.
You could, of course, make a malicious statement that was true, too.
Yes. We have a lot of those around here, so one legislator says, I know that another legislator voted yes on a certain bill, but they sneer, sneer. Any further discussion on Senator Hendrickson's amendment? Senator Failey?
I'd worried it as far as I care to go.
All right.
Move the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Senator Hendrickson's got the motion, yes, to pass the bill out. Okay, call the roll, please.
Brockman, Brown, Cohen, Bailey.
Aye.
Ambie?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Wires? Frye?
Aye. All right. Now we'll go down here to, now, there, I got a note up here wondering if I skipped over a bill, and the answer is no, because I have different council assigned to different bills, and we're taking the bills in order that Mr. Morris has assigned to him. So do not panic out there. House Bill 2085.
2085 is the bill that's addressed to geographical limitations upon the authority of courts to issue search warrants. The bill is modeled after the Court of Appeals case of State versus Plankington, and basically codifies the holding of that, which held that a circuit court judge could not issue a search warrant outside the his circuit.
I remember we had an awful long discussion about this. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there was some controversy over the language on lines 15 and 18, which provides for an exception and says that a judge may issue a search warrant outside his jurisdiction if one or more of the objects of the search relate to a crime committed within the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Remember that discussion?
Is that one or more, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pete Sandrock is here. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, this is of particular importance, I think, to those of us in the metropolitan area where we've got three counties or four counties coming together within a mile or two, and particularly with the expansion of the city into the rural or urban, suburban counties, why the geographical limits are strictly lines in the map.
Well, I'll have to. Senator Hendrickson, do you remember that discussion?
I don't remember the hearing on this bill, I hate to say. I think I was present.
It's been some time.
Does this limit in any way that exception? So you can't have someone in Lane County giving a warrant for Wasco County? Or,
well, you can. You can. Come on up and refresh some memories up here.
Mr. Chair, Pete Sandrock, Oregon District Attorneys Association. Under pre-Plankington law, it was understood, at least since 1976 in the case of State versus Harris, that a judge in one county could issue a search warrant to be executed in another county. The possible limitation on that authority would have been that the objects of the search in another county, for example, a Lane County judge issuing a warrant to be executed in Benton County, would be searching for evidence that related to a crime triable in Lane County. Probably the most noteworthy case as far as Lane County is concerned was the Randy Woodfield I-5 killer case. That was a situation in which a search warrant was issued by a Benton County judge to search three described locations in Lane County. The vehicle of the defendant, the defendant's residence, and the defendant's person. In Plankington, the Court of Appeals, relying on a somewhat sketchy legislative history, said that It was probably late in the session. Held that a magistrate could issue a search warrant to be executed only within the magistrate's jurisdiction. Now, the Law Improvement Committee came along and decided, well, first we'll just codify Plankinton, and said we'll limit that search warrant to Lane County. Judge in Lane County can only issue it to be executed in Lane County. And then they made a substantial revision after some further study and opened it up rather broadly. I think on the theory that their first goal was to encourage police to obtain search warrants without particular regard to where the judge sat that issued the search warrant. And the easier it was for a police officer to get a search warrant, then presumably the more likely it would be that police would seek prior judicial authority for their searches. By the time the bill got before House Judiciary, the objections from the defense, as I understood them to be, focused on the philosophical concept that the judge in the jurisdiction where the property was located is the one who is to be politically responsible to the people within that locale, and therefore we should do all we can to encourage the search warrant to be restricted in that regard. After a series of compromises, we ended up with the A engrossed version of 2085 as you have it before you right now, and I believe that I am accurate in saying that the one area of disagreement between the defense and the prosecution is in line 15, in which it says, if the judge finds from the application that one or more of the objects of the search relate to an offense committed or tribal within the judicial district in which the court is located. It's those three words, one or more of the objects of the search. The defense wants that out, we want that in. And the kind of situation that the prosecutors are looking at is the situation in which you have a string of offenses, say, up and down the valley, and the police, through their investigation, are able to tie one to the other. It might be through evidence of a unique MO, and they pool all their information. They would like to be able to go to one of the judges in one of the counties and issue a search warrant that may be searching, say, a residence in one county, a storage unit in another county, the body of the defendant, which is mobile and may be found in any county.
You know, I read the novel about the I-5 killer, and it seemed like another reason you might want to have that is in that case, the police were acting at cross purposes, and I think the Lane County District Attorney was also maybe somewhat at that time. The District Attorney at that time may have been somewhat at cross purposes, and it seems like the lead law enforcement agency, it would be to their advantage perhaps to be able to control who gets the warrants and when the warrants are executed, because it appeared, at least in that case, where it was that kind of a case where you had a number of different police jurisdictions and you had a number of different people involved, that for the best coordinated criminal investigation, you would want the lead police agency, I think, to be able to go in and get those warrants and execute.
There's also a benefit to the defendant, and that is that you're not subjecting the defendant to a series of ill-timed searches by multiple agencies from different jurisdictions who are successively searching him for fruits of the crime related to their particular incident. So what we're looking for is that broadened authority.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, I have probably a useless question on the House bill, but you said the problem was created by an uncertain legislative history. And when the Court of Appeals tried to determine the legislative history, which must have meant that they had to get to legislative history to make their decision, that they thought it was weak in some way.
It was.
And so they made this ruling. Did anyone consider just reenacting the existing statute and making a different legislative history, namely that a circuit judge is an official of the state? Did anybody consider that?
I don't know. By the time the Law Improvement Committee started considering it, I don't know what other options they had considered.
It's kind of a blunt instrument here to straighten up that kind of a question. And you get in, and you'll get into arguments and litigation about one or one or more. Or suppose that he stole a ballpoint pen at the credit union in Marion County, and $25,000 diamond in Polk County. You know, well, it's one or more, but.
And of course, you're confronted with a situation that the judge's arrest warrant issued out of one county can be executed anywhere within the state.
Yeah.
Whether it's a district or a circuit judge.
Yeah.
But as they say, this is a delicate balance of principle and compromise.
Well, and as long as I'm talking, Mr. Chairman, I don't care what the prosecutors want. I want them to succeed appropriately. I don't care what the defense counsel want. I'm interested in, you know, what protects the public, and also in the question of what protects constitutional rights, which we feel is a value in protecting the public. Balance that way. And how does this impinge the question of unreasonable searches and seizures is what I'd rather hear talked about.
My argument would be that by broadening the ability to get the search warrant, it encourages that prior judicial review of the search, and therefore gives greater protection to the public. The more narrowly you draw the situation, then the greater the encouragement to the police to find some other reason to search without a warrant.
Well, I can't vote on this bill because I've been only elected from Lane County, and it will indeed affect the whole state. But I mind if you call the roll anyway.
Any other problems with this?
Okay. All right. Senator Simmons moves House Bill 2085 for the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Brockman? Brown?
Aye.
Cohen? Bailey?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Wires? Fry?
Aye. All right. Go over to 2116.
House Bill 2161 is one of the home confinement bills that we considered in early May. It would do two main things. It would allow the Corrections Division to add monitored home confinement to its conditional release program, and it would also allow judges to add monitored home confinement to the list of conditions that a court may impose on a probationer.
The problem really is we aren't making it.
And I believe the House amended it to exclude the use of home confinement to persons convicted of violent crimes.
Well, I think, as has been stated, that the courts already have authority to do this, but I suppose that some people want to put it into the code. And I think it's a good idea, and if it needs to be in the code in order to give judges some direction, well, I suppose that's all right. Anybody have any thoughts on this?
No, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Senator Simmons?
The Senator Yee's amendments aren't coming in.
I don't have any amendments from Senator Yee. Do you have them?
She told me that she wanted to have an amendment, but and she discussed the amendment. I told her the amendment was all right. I wasn't sure about the bill.
Oh. Yeah, I'm ready to go with this.
I'm ready.
Okay, everybody ready?
Well, I don't want to do that when a senator has said they want to have an amendment.
Well, the senator should present the amendment then. This is
I agree, and I don't know why that's happened, but you now know that she wishes to consider that, and this is a bill.
This is the bill.
This is a bill she was interested in when it was a Senate bill here.
As I recall, she had talked to me about the amendment, too. She wanted an amendment which would include DUII offenders to be also subject to this home arrest with electronic surveillance, or do electronic devices, and to have them charged for the cost of this. She explained it to me. She didn't have the language.
Yes, that's accurate. She desired this procedure to be usable for a person who would otherwise be in jail under a DUII, so they could be at home under this.
Yeah, it was a bill that we had considered once and didn't think highly of it. And
I think the bill that she's talking about is the bill that passed both houses and been vetoed by the governor.
No, that's a different bill.
Yeah, I'm on the wrong bill.
I was simply wishing to take some effort to extend her a little bit of courtesy. If you find out she doesn't have any written amendment, then there it goes. It could save some money in jail where people thought there was a mandatory sentence to let him be at home. I'm concerned with the Star Wars technology overall, having once watched a program about the TV camera that was in every house and had a central monitor, but you know.
So what are you saying? What are you suggesting?
Why don't we try to contact her, see if she's got any amendments, and if she doesn't have then fine, but if she does have, look at it. What I'm saying is I'm bothered by the whole bill, but I want to extend the courtesy to her.
Well, I think the amendment would be just the other bill that we considered in that form probably added to this one. Perhaps.
Well, it's the same thing that she talked to me about earlier. She talked to me about getting her home monitored electronic equipment bill into another bill, and I guess this is the bill she had in mind.
Well, this bill has that home monitored electronic equipment in it, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Oh, I thought that was already in it. I thought she just wanted to add DUII.
No,
this is another bill.
She had another bill in that would provide for that monitored confinement thing with a leg piece
on
the
electronic bracelet.
What number is the bill we're working on?
And she mentioned about adding that to this particular bill here.
All right.
I perhaps shouldn't have used the term monitored. This is more of the house arrest.
House arrest.
Idea.
Well, which, house arrest. Yes.
It's my understanding some counties are currently doing, are they not? And Corrections Division has asked us to clarify that it is an option.
Yes, that's right. That's what the purpose of this bill is, to do what some of us think the courts can already do, but to make it clear in the statute.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is it not legal for them to use this electronic, I suppose it's like telemetry gear, I don't know, devices now? Do they need a statute? They can't do it now? Or?
Well,
Mr. Chair,
I have an operational
suggestion. I don't know.
Minutes will show we talked about it.
Okay. All right. We talked about it. Senator Haley?
Mr. Chair, I asked Senator Yee that very same question because I assumed that, in fact, we could. It was her thought that unless the statute showed clearly that you could, in fact, use the electronic device, that they would not be able to receive the funds that the county was already.
The concern wasn't whether they could use the equipment or not. I don't think it was whether they could recoup the cost from the defendant, which was estimated to be something like $10 a day. We heard testimony on another bill last night, which having to do with review of sentences that to the effect that as long as the condition of probation is reasonably related to the crime, that it's permissible. Mm-hmm. So.
If the other bill didn't have a majority when it was considered, then perhaps one could say that it was talked about and pointed out there wasn't a majority for that idea.
Okay.
There was some considerable controversy at the public hearing on that other bill because of the Star Wars concept.
Yes.
Well, they are currently experimenting with it, I think, in the concept.
Yes, they are. All right, do you want to get any motion on this bill then?
I'll move.
Senator Henry moves House Bill 2116 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion, Senator Brown?
I would, of course, I prefer to add the Senator Yee amendment.
Where's Senator Yee now?
Yep, no.
I'll withdraw my motion, Mr. Chair, if you'd like.
No, I really wouldn't, but I'll leave that up to you. The motion, Senator Yee, that we have before us is to pass out House Bill 2116. Did you want to, you want to support that motion?
Yeah, I want to support that motion, but
okay,
I also
good.
Like to propose an amendment if the committee pleases. That the amendment has to do with including the DUII offenders in your bill so that if the judges want to allow house arrest monitored by electronic devices, he has the option to do so. And then another part of the amendment is to allow the judge to charge fees to make the system self-supporting. And I have asked Legislative Council to draft these amendments and would appreciate your review and favorable consideration.
Go ahead, Senator Brown. Has the Legislative Council actually prepared the amendments? Do we have them in hand?
Yes.
You have them there.
First point. Couldn't they do that for DUII? Yes.
But this bill doesn't.
So the
this
fee.
Bill
so the fee really would be. Yeah. So the fee would really be the place where you need to.
Yeah.
Where you might need an amendment. I was asking Senator Yee. Whether the language of the bill now would allow the use of house arrest for driving under the influence. I believe the Council for Committee has indicated that the language of the bill now probably does allow the use of house arrest for driving under the influence. That would then leave only the question of the fee. If that's true, you don't have to expressly say and for DUII if that's true. Mm-hmm. And then you would need, however, an amendment to allow a fee to be added in some way.
This is just so that the devices can be paid for by the use. My Mr. Vice Chairman, Mr. Chairman, my original bill, which is Senate Bill 466, asked for an evaluation and report to the legislature about how effective is the electronic device working at the end of 2 years or two biennium. And if the committee pleases, you might want to consider including that provision for a report for two biennium.
Yeah. Senator.
But I don't want to take too much of your time.
No, we're glad to have you come. You just can't arrive in time because the bill was beginning to move toward the door without your amendment.
Oh, well.
So stay right here.
Yeah. It's also true that there had been about 10 minutes of filibuster on your behalf, Senator Hendrickson, and myself and some others.
And Senator Simmons, who introduced
yes.
The
oh, I appreciate
and Senator this. Brown, who was also.
There you go.
I appreciate this for your support. Okay.
Counsel, we have the amendments.
Mr. Chair, may
yes,
I,
yes.
May I
sir.
Ask Senator Yee, was there a reason for you limiting the fee to seven? Your page six of your amendments reads. That the fee, the charges, the cost charged shall not exceed $7 per day.
This is based on the device costing around $10,000 a piece, and the Linn County Driving Under the Influence Task Force wanted to try for 10 people, and for the cost of the device to be used for 10 people for 2 years, it came out to be about $7 a day. and this is a figure we use. It wasn't meant to make any money, just to pay for the device, and that was the recommendation.
Okay. Now, I got a witness back here that thinks she can shed some light on this. Come on up, would you please?
For the record, I'm Nancy Farrar, Deputy Administrator of the Corrections Division. House Bill 2116 does not preclude the use of electronic monitoring devices. They're allowed as it stands in the bill. The courts already have the power to collect fees for supervision, and I don't think that it needs to be specified in the bill. From my perspective, the fees that the court can already impose would cover, or could cover, the cost of supervision through home monitoring.
I would think so myself.
Mr. Chairman,
send it around.
Is it not helpful to spell this out so judges don't have to speculate as to what they can do? There's lots of speculation in the world. It's nice, you know, some judges like to see things written down, and it gives them confidence.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Brown, judges already are imposing supervision fees that we are collecting and have been collecting for several years now. This is something that I think they already know that they can do. The bill can be used for DUIIs. I don't know that that needs to be specified either. What the bill precludes now is the use of house arrest for somebody who would pose a threat to public safety. In terms of using a dangerous weapon or...